Hello, and welcome back to another episode of ABA Mom. I'm Allie, a board-certified behavior analyst and mom of five.
And I'm Erica, an RBT and student analyst and a mom of two, and we're glad you guys are joining us again for another episode of ABA Mom.
Today, we're diving into a topic that many parents encounter, perseveration.
That's right. Perseveration can be a common behavior in children, especially those with developmental differences. So what exactly does perseveration mean?
So that's a great question. Perseveration refers to the repetition of a particular response, whether it's a word, a phrase, an action, beyond the typical point of engagement, it's likely to be stuck on a loop.
Exactly. And while it can be frustrating for us parents, it's important to understand that it stems from a child's desire for routine or comfort.
So Erica, can you give us some examples on how that might look in everyday situations?
Sure. Imagine a child who keeps asking the same question over and over and over again, even after they've already received an answer or multiple, or they might be fixated on a specific toy or activity, unable to move forward onto something else.
I have several examples, actually. One I'm going to just kind of use as an example is my stepson likes to perseverate on everyone's schedule. So from the moment I pick him up from school, he wants to know where everyone is, who's at the house, what their schedule is, including his own schedule. Like, he wants to know what is happening from moment to moment. And he just wants to, he wants that every day. And then he'll even ask like multiple times a day, like, hey, what are they doing? And like, literally, like, you can be standing in front of him and he'll say, what are you doing right now? It's become very habitual. So, and that's just one way like that he perseverates. And it's almost just become like automatically, like he'll just ask where people are and what they're doing. And it's something that is very, it's very rigid. He's very routine oriented.
Yeah, I get that. With my son, I feel like a lot of people are going to relate to this. He fixates on the iPad. So when he gets home from school, immediately, shoes off, backpack down, where's the iPad? So I've started using the iPad for work. So he can't touch it, you know, until I'm all done with my work. So the moment he walks in the house, it's perseveration, iPad, iPad. And I remind him of the chores and homework and everything that needs to be done to get access to the iPad. We've had this routine for years, I would say probably since he was like 6 or 7, but I will admit fault, I am not consistent, and he needs that consistency. So it seems to help him, I make a visual schedule, whether it's when he was younger, it was pictures of things he needed to get done. Right now, you know, he knows how to read. So I'm writing things down, you know, homework, chores, whatever it is, I break it down into very simple steps. Collect laundry, feed the guinea pigs, whatever it is. Make that list. It's a really short list, but still a list. And then at the end, I will circle, highlight, do whatever I need to do so he knows he's going to get iPad at the end. And yeah, he just kind of goes about his list, checking it off as it gets done. And then he gets, you know, the access. So what do you think makes some kids perseverate more than others?
So I often think, first of all, I want to just piggyback what you're saying on the consistency, because I do think that as a parent, like, it's a huge part of what we do in ABA, but it's definitely difficult sometimes to be consistent because we have our own things that we're kind of working on too. So now we're trying to be consistent with our child's schedule, our schedule, and like, it's hard. It's not easy. But I do like everything that you just said with that visual schedule for him, because I definitely think that helps even when it's hard for you to keep track of it. You have it written down for him. So I think that's awesome. So I think as far as what you were saying, as far as why some kids tend to perseverate more than others, I believe it ties into their individual processing styles. So some children find comfort in repetition, especially if they're feeling overwhelmed, it can serve as a coping mechanism.
Absolutely. And for kids with autism, perseveration is very common, or can be very common. It can also happen with kids with ADHD or other developmental disorders. So what can parents do to when they see their child perseverating?
So that's a really great question. One approach is to gently redirect their focus. So if they're stuck on a particular topic or activity, you could introduce a related but different activity for them to engage in. So for example, when I was just talking about my stepson and his perseveration on where everything is, like where everybody is, I actually had a client that I worked with that was perseverating on everyone else's schedule as an adult client who was perseverating on everyone's schedule at work to just kind of know when everyone's break was. So then was going to people and be like, hey, did you know that your break is at this time? You didn't take your break and it's 10 o'clock and your break's at 10 of 2. You're at 10 of 2 and your break's at 10 o'clock, like, and you haven't taken your break. And that's very similar to what my stepdad does too. So like one way is just kind of it's redirecting with other things and also reminding if sometimes the perseveration is involving other people and their schedule. I like to say it's like, oh wait, who are we worried about? Oh, are we worried about you? Okay, worried about you, your schedule. Like, and some things I say, okay, so remember that in your head. Like some things we can say out loud and some things we kind of keep to ourselves or something that they can write out down to get out of their system, right? So just finding different ways to redirect, like with your son, that visual schedule is beautiful. And there's other activities for him to do before he gets to the iPad. So finding a way to kind of redirect and be able to cope, but in a very different way, in a way that gives them a different function and also helps them. You know, and I think too, when we're talking about ADHD being very common, like you and I hope you don't mind if I share that, Erica, that we both have that diagnosis, which I think makes us really good ABA providers because we have a good understanding of that perspective. But I find myself perseverating on things too. And, you know, and that's really what I have to do. I have to redirect myself, like, you know, especially if I start. Even as an adult, like I try to not get too into video games because if I start a video game, I'm constantly on it. Like I'm just like, okay. And it's like, then I think about it like all day and I'm like, I can't live this life where I just play video games all day. I'll never get anything done. Or like a game on my phone, like I'll just keep playing. So I have to be, and they're really like, you like Tetris and or Mario or something like that. But I have to be mindful of that and remind myself, like give myself my own checklist. It's like, okay, so now first I'm going to do these things and then I can play my video game. Thinking about anything or doing anything all day, I don't think that is the healthiest coping mechanism.
Well, I didn't even realize it until you were saying that I guess I've always been like this too, because I will, if I can't set any doctor's appointments or meetings or anything midday, because I will think about that the entire day and almost like a paralysis. And I always have to do it in the morning, because if not, it ruins my whole day thinking, oh my gosh, I have a client at 2 o'clock and I'm not doing anything until then. And that's all I'm going to obsess about. And my ex-husband used to call it my crazy list, because I would almost bring up everything onto paper, because if not, it's like a Rolodex of all these things that I have to get done. And then you're exhausted from that, and then you don't actually follow through or do anything because you're worried about those thoughts.
Because you're exactly. I've definitely experienced that where I honestly like talking about clients. I have a harder time. Sorry to anyone like afternoon clients. It's harder for me with afternoons because like if that is my only client in the afternoon, like if I have a schedule, I'm like, okay, you know, 9 to 5, whatever, like I can do that. But if it's like I have an afternoon client, I have this big gap, it's so hard to because I'm thinking about it all day. Okay, 4 o'clock
I get
is
it.
where I have to be. And the same thing, like if I had a what you're saying at the doctor's appointment, like I will literally think about it all day. Like I can't miss this because I'm almost worried I'm gonna miss the appointment. And then I'm thinking about like all the things that could be happening with the appointment when I go. So
And then guess what? We're probably still late for that doctor's appointment, even
yes.
though we've obsessed about it all day. Just saying.
I
We know each
definitely,
other.
yep, I get that I'm late, but it's almost like I'm late because I'm like trying to like over prepare for things and I'm like, oh wait, and I lose track of time. So
And so the whole thing with the visual schedule then for my son, I kind of implemented all that like probably 2, 3 years before I even got into ABA. I was essentially doing ABA for free in my own house, I felt
love
like.
that.
So do you think that if a kid perseverates a lot, do you think that might be a good like first step for a parent to try a visual schedule and see if that works?
Yeah, and I think visual schedules are super helpful. They provide clear structure, can help children know what to expect next, reducing the need to perseverate on a single item or activity. So it definitely can support. And I know, you know, even for adults, like that's an extra support. So like writing things down, like making yourself a list, if you can like visually see it, I definitely think that that visual support is super helpful. And I've seen it with clients and my own kids when we have those visuals too.
Yeah. And so I think that I say this, I feel like every episode I'm on, creating so crucial to validate your child's feelings and create a safe environment. And you might say something like, I know you really want to watch that show again, but maybe it's time for something else, something new. How about we read a book together or play a card game together?
Yeah, no, I like that too. So just trying to find, something else to do. And I like what you're saying. It's just kind of validating their feelings of saying, like I know that this might be upsetting to you, but like let's let's find something else to do. Like so seeking out an alternative too. Like I was just saying about the video games, like that is not a healthy way to live. I also have to, go to work, take care of kids. So that's not something I can sit and do all day, but it's something, I think it's a great skill set to teach them anytime with any, whether or not it's perseverating or just teaching an alternative activity is really important. And accepting, just tolerating something else. Like you might really love this one thing, but let's tolerate this other thing for a little while. And I always say, like, it doesn't have to be like a least preferred activity. It doesn't have to be something they hate. It could just be less preferred. So I like playing Tetris, like, and I want to play because I want to beat like my last score, but like maybe there's something else that I can do with my time. Maybe I can read a book. Like that's a preferred activity. It's just a less preferred activity.
Exactly. And I think seeking guidance of a professional, maybe like a behavior analyst or a speech therapist, can also provide valuable strategies tailored to our specific kids and their needs.
Yes. And I think that's really great insight, Erica. And it's really important for parents to remember that they're not alone in this experience.
And I have to remind myself, probably on a weekly basis with my own kids, every kid is unique, and understanding their individual needs is absolute key. How you react to one child might not be the
Yes.
right way to react to another.
It's never
It's just
one size
it's
fits
enough
all.
going on in my head, and now I have to remember that. It's a lot.
Well, I think that's really great insight, and let's wrap up today's episode on first separation.
And we hope you found this episode helpful. If you have any questions or different topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes, don't hesitate to reach out.
Thanks for tuning in to ABA Mom. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, share our podcast with other parents who might benefit from our conversations.
Yeah, and until next time, take care and keep up the great works. We need to be reminded that on a constant basis, we're doing best we can with the tools that we have.